Good morning to you all and welcome to Newport on Tay Church of Scotland. How wonderful to see even more people in church this morning. Seems as if we are now returning to normal. And I'm sure that the sign of a vaccine or the approval of a vaccine for COVID-19 has brought some assurances to us. So we hope that we will have our full congregation again soon. So welcome this morning and welcome to this second Sunday of Advent. Our call to worship is from Psalm 50, verse 1 to 6. Psalm 50, verse 1 to 6. The mighty one God, the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to where it sets. From Zion, perfect in beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes and will not be silent. A fire devours before him, and around him a tempest rages. He summons the heavens above and the earth that he may judge his people. Gather to me this consecrated people who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens proclaim his righteousness, for he is a God of justice. I will light the second Advent candle, and after that we will have our first hymn, which is Come Down, O Love Divine. My dear sisters and brothers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are assembled here in God's name and presence to meet with him in our midst and to welcome Jesus Christ as we expect his birth and coming into the world during this time of Advent. But first, let us prepare ourselves and examine our lives in silence as we call to mind our sins and seek the grace of God, that we may come near to him with true repentance and faith. Let us take a moment of silence and prepare ourselves for worship. God's salvation is at hand. Surely God's salvation is at hand for those who fear God, that his glory may dwell in our land. Lord God, your word is not distant, your love is not rationed, your grace is at hand. For you are present with your people. As we call upon you, we come to bless you as our Creator. We come to honor you as our God. You are our Heavenly Father, revealed through Jesus Christ, your Son, and we have come to delight in your word and be transformed by your love. God of faithfulness and truth, you sent your servant John the Baptist to preach in the desert and summon people to repentance. Make us and all things new, that in the wilderness of our hearts we too may prepare a way over which your Son may walk. Our land needs you because so many things are done wrongly or not done at all. Our land needs you because it is suffering from the way we mistreat your world and its people. Our land needs you because without the knowledge of God, there is poverty of spirit, and we need you. We inhabit this land, we share in its faults. We confess the sins and failures which have harmed others and harmed ourselves and grieved your spirit. Have mercy on us for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. God our Father, your salvation is at hand. May your spirit bear witness with our spirits that we belong to you and that we are heirs to eternal life. We bless you that this Jesus Christ is no mere formula for prayer, that the Word became flesh and lived among us, that your Son lives as our friend in heaven, and that your Spirit is given to your people. Give discernment of mind that we understand your Word. Give us discernment of heart that we become tender towards you and other people. Give us discernment of life, that we take the right turning and follow the right paths in company with our Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us always to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Let's hear what the Lord has to say to us today in our readings from his holy word. Our first reading is from Ezekiel chapter 14, starting at verse 12. Ezekiel writes, The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, if a country sins against me by being unfaithful, and I stretch out my hand against it to cut off its food supply and send famine upon it and kill its men and their animals, even if those three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they could only save themselves by their righteousness, declares the sovereign Lord. Or if I send wild beasts through that country, and they leave it childless, and it becomes desolate, so that no one can pass through it because of the beasts, as surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, even if these three men were in it, they could not save their own sons or daughters. They alone would be saved, but the land would be desolate. Or if I bring a sword against that country and say, Let the sword pass through the land, and I kill its men and their animals, as surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, even if these three men were in it, they could not save their own sons or daughters. They alone would be saved. Or if I send a plague into that land and pour out my wrath upon it through bloodshed, killing its men and their animals, as surely as I live, declares the Sovereign Lord. Even if Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, they could save neither son nor daughter. They would only save themselves by their righteousness. For this is what the Sovereign Lord says: how much worse it will be when I send against Jerusalem my four dreadful judgments, sword and famine and wild beasts and plague, to kill its men and their animals. Yet there will be some survivors, sons and daughters, who will be brought out of it. They will come to you, and when you see their conduct and their actions, you will be consoled regarding the disaster I have brought upon Jerusalem. Every disaster I have brought upon it, you will be consoled when you see their conduct and their actions, for you will know that I have done nothing in it without cause, declares the Sovereign Lord. And our second reading is from Matthew's Gospel, starting at chapter 13 and reading from verse 24. Jesus was addressing the crowds. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed ears, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling up the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the seeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." Amen. May God add his blessing to his word, and to his name be all the glory and praise.
"People, look east, the time is near." Our next hymn. us pray. Holy and gracious God, may your Holy Spirit give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that with the eyes of our hearts enlightened, we may know the hope to which Christ has called us, the riches of his glorious inheritance among us, and the greatness of his power for those who believe. Amen. Let both grow together until the time of harvest. Why is there growing evil and moral decadence in the world and even in the church, despite the presence of faithful people and even righteous people and the standards of the church? And personally, I often ask myself, why is evil so prevalent in parts of Africa, corruption and all the bad things that we can imagine, despite the fact that there are more churches in some cities and countries than public toilets? The church is more than a place in which Christians worship on a Sunday. It is supposed to be an active Christian presence that should impact on the lives of individuals and their communities. The church is supposed to challenge evil and to provide the kind of morale that is necessary to make communities and places livable. It should play an important role in community cohesion and be a stabilizing force for good in a world that is increasingly unreligious. And the church should be able to support people who are going through difficulties, whatever background they may come from. Why do we have so many churches, and yet evil continues to multiply in our world? In Matthew 13:24-43, the disciples of Jesus came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." Jesus answered, "The one who sowed good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons, and that also means the daughters of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burnt in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin, and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father." I think what this parable does is it wrestles with the problem of why evil is so persistent in a world that is supposed to be the kingdom of God. And one contemporary interpretation would be to apply it to the church, in which true and false believers coexist until the final judgment. The pictures in this parable would be familiar to those in Palestine at the time of Jesus and still today. Tares were one of the curses or bad luck against which a farmer had to labor. There were a weed called bearded darnel, what plant pathologists call Lolium temulentum. In their early stages, the tares so closely resembled the wheat that it was impossible to distinguish the one from the other. When both had grown to a certain stage, it was easy to distinguish them. But by that time, their roots were so intertwined that the tares could not be weeded out without tearing the wheat out with them. Both, therefore, must be left to grow together until the time of harvest. The wheat and tares could not be safely separated when both were growing. But in the end, they had to be separated because the grain of the bearded darnel is slightly poisonous. It causes dizziness and sickness and is narcotic in its effects. Friends, the picture presented in the parable of a man deliberately sowing darnel in someone else's field is not just imaginative. Wicked people actually did that out of envy for some revenge. So they deliberately sowed bad seeds in the farms of their enemies in order to corrupt the good seeds. And still today in India, one of the direst threats which people can make to their enemy is, "I will sow bad seed in your field." Was Jesus Christ not a genius when he used that parable to describe how evil seeds can be planted among good ones in order to destroy the blessings that would normally be achieved? It's one of the most practical parables Jesus ever taught his disciples. It teaches us that there is always a hostile power in the world, and even in the church, seeking and waiting to destroy the good seed, and both kinds of influence act upon our lives. The influence which helps the seed in us to grow and to flourish, and the influence which seeks to destroy the good seed before it can produce fruit at all. Those influences may be within the family, so-called friends, colleagues and co-workers, or fellow members of the church. The lesson is that we must always be on our guard against alien intrusions into the good plans of God in our lives. And then the parable teaches us not to be too quick with our judgment of others. If the reapers had their way, they would have tried to tear out the darnel or weeds, and they would have torn out the wheat as well. You cannot always put people in a box and say, "All these people are bad or good people," or "All people from a particular country or region or area are like this or that." We should not be too quick to classify people and label them good or bad without knowing all the facts about them or a particular situation. People may appear to be good when in fact they are bad. And some may appear to be bad when in fact they are good. Have you ever been told how bad somebody was, only to discover that the one is in fact a much better person than you would ever have expected? Or have you ever been told that somebody was a very good person, only to discover the reverse? Our judgment of people can always be so imperfect. And then the parable teaches us that judgment always comes in the end. Judgment is not hasty, but judgment will come. Sometimes it appears as if people in this life are escaping the consequences of their actions, but there is a life to come. "Let both grow together until the time of harvest," says Jesus. And often goodness does not seem to enter into its reward, but there is a new world to redress the balance of the old. And finally, it teaches us that the only person with the right to judge is God. It is God alone who knows and understands the good and the bad. It is God alone who sees all that we are and all that we do. It is God alone who can judge. So then ultimately, this parable is about two things. It is a warning not to judge people by our own standards. And it is a warning that in the end, there comes the judgment of God. But it is also and really about these two groups of people who are growing together but are characterized differently. At least four things are said about those who belong to the kingdom of God. They are seed sown by the sower. They have God as their father. And membership of the kingdom means adoption into the very family of God. They are called righteous people. Not only right in relation to God, but righteous in behavior among their fellows. And fourthly, they will one day shine like the sun. And by contrast, the sons of the devil are described in three ways. They are seed sown by the devil. The usurper, prince of this world, has claimed their allegiance. They do evil. They are rebels against God's kingly rule, and their destiny is ultimately destruction. Well, dear friends, I know many people, especially in these postmodern cultures, do not appreciate the language of evil and destruction. We do not treat evil with any seriousness, and many do not even believe in a future life, a heaven or hell, where the great separation will be finalized. But it is an undeniable part of the teaching of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Those who cause sin and do evil will be thrown into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And as Jesus Christ says to his disciples, he or she who has ears, let them hear. What I learned from this parable is that there are always two forces at play in our lives and even in our communities. And the question for us this morning is, what kind of influence are you? What role are you playing? In your family, your job site, in the parish, or in the community. There is a strong contrast between the present hiddenness of our activities, even in the church and in the world, and the future vindication of God's church from evil. Though now it is difficult to distinguish between the evil ones and the good ones amongst us, one day at the final judgment, the children of God, the sons and daughters of the kingdom, will shine like the sons in the kingdom of their Father, but the wicked will be punished. May God grant us his grace that we seek to do what is right, so that we will shine like the sun in the kingdom of our Father. Let us pray. Most merciful and ever-living Father, we give you thanks for your word to us this morning. It is always too hard, very difficult for us to accept the message of the judgment to come. But we know, O merciful Father, that you will come again in your Son to judge the world. Help us, O Father, as we grow in our faith, that we may commit ourselves to doing what is right and pleasing in your sight, so that we will shine as your children and like the sun when you come to judge the world. May we never waver from our faith, but stand firm against the trials and temptations of this life, so that our reward in heaven will be great. This is our prayer through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our next hymn, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we offer ourselves and our offering to you. And in bringing these things, we give back to you from the abundant blessings you have given us. May our gifts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord our God. Blessing and glory, wisdom and thanksgiving, honor and power and strength be unto you, our God. Let us give thanks to the Lord for all his goodness, for the opportunity to meet in worship in person this morning, for what has been good for us and others during this past week. For those who provide for our needs, and especially for the sick and disadvantaged. For those who give leadership in church, in state, in community. For friends and family, for companions in the way of Christ. For all that make life beautiful and interesting and worthwhile. For the ministry of John the Baptist and all who direct others to Jesus Christ, let us thank God for them. Lord our God, we pray for all nations of the world and their leaders. We pray that in all the uneven, rough, and unjust places of the world, the way may be prepared for you to bring equality, healing, and justice to all people. We pray particularly today for the people of the Holy Land, where Jesus Christ, your word made flesh, came to live alongside us. Let your Prince of Peace bring a new spirit of reconciliation among those who have brought division, suspicion, and danger into the streets of Bethlehem and Jerusalem. Lord our God, we pray for the communities in which we live. We pray for Newport on Tay. We pray for our congregation. We pray that with your help, we will reveal your glory in the way we live and serve. If we become overbusy, stressed, or tired, speak tenderly to us, gather us in your arms, and bring us back to a place where we can rest and refocus on the one great truth of Advent and Christmas. That you have come to us in humility and with patience so that we may see your glory and salvation in our lives. Lord our God, we pray for all those in particular need who are weak and vulnerable. We pray that they will be touched by your gentle tenderness, bringing them comfort and strength. We name them now in the silence of our hearts. Bringing to you our concerns for the needs of those we know and those we love. Let your loving and gentle kindness surround them all. Lord our God, we remember before you the lives of those who are now with you in your eternal kingdom, where one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day, praying for those who are missing them still, especially at this time as we prepare for Christmas. Lord our God and Heavenly Father, we bring our prayers to you, trusting in your great faithfulness and compassion. As we look forward to celebrating once again the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ, help us also to look forward to the time of his coming again and to prepare ourselves for that day when your kingdom will at last be established on earth. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We bring our service to its close. A final hymn, Once in Royal David's City. in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.